Praise God. So for those listening online who were not sitting here this morning, we just watched the opening to the movie Fiddler on the Roof, talking about traditions. Some of the key points in the middle of that is it very starts off, how do we keep our balance? We keep our balance with traditions. A little bit later, Tevye, the father, Zero Mostel, right? Is that who plays that? I don't remember. Maybe not. But Tevye.
T-O-P-A-L.
Okay, so not Zero Mostel. Zero Mostel is another Jewish actor. Now I have to figure out where he was. But Tevye, the father, is singing a song about traditions, and he's talking about things. He says, how does this tradition start? I'll tell you. I don't know. Traditions are important. Traditions give us a sense of community, kind of grounds us, helps us so that we find ourselves in unfamiliar territory. Traditions will help us to deal with that and give us a sense of peace, even when things aren't normal by what we're used to. But also, and we'll talk about this in the message, sometimes traditions get in the way. So we're going to start with 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 13. Paul talking says, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle." Paul saying, following traditions is a good thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul again, starting in verse 1, says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I have delivered them to you." Again, Paul talking about how traditions can be a good thing. That following the traditions, we've talked before about the people in Israel that we read about in the book of Jeremiah, the Rechabites. And their father the patriarch had passed down this rule that they were never to dwell in houses, that they were always to dwell in tents, and they were never to eat any, have anything from the vine. They couldn't eat grapes, they couldn't drink wine, they couldn't do any of that. And they continued to carry that on through, as they went through the generations. In fact, when, our friend Joanne was in Israel a few years ago, part of their tour, they went and they met some of the people that are Rechabites to this day dwell in tents. To this day do not have anything, take anything from the vine. No grapes, no wine, no raisins, nothing. Because that's a tradition that was passed down. God used them as an example of them giving honor to their father. And he says, if these people are willing to do that, how come you don't obey the things that I have laid out? Talking as a rebuke to the people of Israel. Talking about how traditions are a wonderful thing. The picture on the front, or the quote, is just a little old church. Actually, it's bigger than ours. Little old church bigger than ours. You'll have that. It says, "Can we break traditions?" That depends. We can break traditions. Paul said to follow them, that traditions are important. But sometimes traditions get in the way. Sometimes we get so wrapped up into what the tradition is, we lose sight of what's going on. Many of you know, for most of the year, I guess I started in May. Starting in May, I've been taking part of a prayer call in the morning. And I noticed the tradition, actually I had noticed it before in a different setting, but I noticed a tradition that pretty much anybody that gets up to speak starts, I mean, you set your watch by this, you know, set, you know, just check that the start of a person getting up to speak starts with, first of all, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, and giving honor to the leadership of this house. You know, and it's always the same words. It's always the same thing. It is a tradition. It is a formula that gets in the way, or that gets out there. And there is nothing wrong with having traditions. Traditions are important. Like Tevye said, without traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof. Okay, did not take. Well, actually, I acted in a couple of plays in high school. I did not have a leading role. Okay. But traditions are important because they help, they ground us, they tell us who we are. This movie takes place prior to World War I and is in a Russian village. So you had the Russian Jews, and you also had the Russian Orthodox Christians pictured in the very very beginning there. Talking about the importance of traditions. Tevye said at one point, the prayer shawl reminds us of our relationship, our constant devotion to God. And, you know, traditions tell us how to work. Traditions do this thing. And then he talks about a guy that sold a horse and was cheating somebody else. How many times do we mouth our traditions? Do we mouth, say the things that we know to be right, but our actions don't necessarily reflect that? It happens in all of us. That's why we constantly need to seek the face of the Lord. Constantly need God to continue to work in us. In Colossians 2, Paul is talking there. Beginning with verse 4, he says, "Now I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. But as therefore have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So Paul, who has told two different churches, the Thessalonians and the Corinthians, to follow their traditions, warns the Colossians that there's some traditions out there that will lead you away from the things of God. There's traditions out there that get in the way. There's traditions out there that become an obstacle. Sometimes we have to break with tradition. Can we break traditions? Absolutely. Sometimes we have to. We have to recognize what it is. Jesus told us that for every idle word we will speak, we will give an account. It says, one of these days I'm going to look it up because I can't remember where it is. But in the Minor Prophets, it says that every time we think upon the name of the Lord, it is written in the book. God is paying attention in our lives. And if we are going to give an account for every idle word that we speak, we should obviously go through and figure out why we do the things that we do. If we choose to follow a tradition because it's a tradition, we should know that. We should recognize that and understand that. This is just what you do in this situation. Okay, that's fine. Paul said, if you're invited to go to a party and you choose to go, go. We have free will. We have the ability to do these things. But he also says in that same passage that if it says, whatever they put before you, eat it. But then he says, but if somebody tells you, hey, this was sacrificed to idols, if they bring it up, this is why we do this. It's like, well, that's not really honoring God. So at that point, we abstain from what it is that they're trying to put us into, what it is they're trying to lead us into. That we, as we read right here, Colossians 2, verse 8, which is what we just read, says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. If we are to be led by the Spirit of God, if we are to be examples of Christ on this earth, if we are to be ambassadors of heaven, sometimes we have to break the traditions of this world. Sometimes we have to be set apart and different. We are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart from the things going on around us. Praise the Lord. In Mark, Jesus is talking. And he's talking to the Pharisees, and he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites." That's a great way to start a conversation, isn't it? "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, like so many other things, other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." Stop right there for just a minute. Do we ever examine the things we do and recognize why we do them? Again, if we have to give an account for every idle word that we speak, wouldn't it be good to know why we do the things that we do? Do we do it because it's tradition? Do we do it because what's what everybody else did? Some of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey. He's told this story many times. Dave Ramsey is a Christian, but he's also a financial advisor. Did the Total Money Makeover, did Financial Peace University, has done quite a few things. But he tells this story of a man who, as a reward, a prize at work, got a prize ham. And he brings the ham home, and his wife is going to cook it. And the first thing she does is she cuts the end off the ham. And he says, "Why do you do that?" And the wife says, "I don't know. My mom always did it." "Well, let's call your mom." So they call mom. "Hey, mom, why do we cut the end off the ham?" She says, "I don't know. My mom always did it." He says, "Well, let's call grandma." So we call grandma. "Grandma, why do we always cut the end off the ham?" And she says, "I don't know why you idiots are doing it. I do it because my pan's too short." Sometimes things get passed on and get taken as tradition, and it was just a simple logical thing at the time. But rather than thinking things through, we just do what's always been done. We just wrap up into, well, it's what everybody else does around us. And it becomes the tradition, it becomes the example that we follow, and we forget the freedom that comes in Christ. We forget that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. And we forget the flexibility that comes from reaching out to other people. The flexibility that comes with encouraging other people. Going back, verse 10, Mark 7, verse 10 says, "For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban," that means is given to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and so many such things you do." Now, Isaiah had prophesied to the people that though their lips, they honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from them. Jesus said, your people in that generation do the same thing. I say people in this generation do the same thing. We claim to follow God, but do we? Let me give you some examples. Let's see if you're familiar with this. Actually, I'm going to continue to read into Scripture because this is where it's coming from. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 9. Jesus talking, Matthew 6, his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Has anybody been in a church when they do when they say the Lord's Prayer and they say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us"? Anybody been in a church who says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors"? Did you know those two churches fight with each other over the right way to do it? I've seen it. I've mentioned this before. I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness church in South Florida that emphasized Acts 2:38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And I've been in a Baptist church or a lot of other churches where they baptized according to Matthew 28. Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And people say, "Well, how do you baptize? What's the right way?" And it gets to be a fight. It gets to be an argument. It gets to be a conflict. How is that following the Word of God? How is that following? How is that honoring God with our heart rather than just our lips? I told you, when I first came back to the Lord 28 years ago, 28 years and a few days now, last Sunday was 28 years since I'd come back to the Lord. And one of the first things God showed me was that every person I'd ever learned anything from, I learned something that I found out later was wrong. That doesn't mean everything they taught me was wrong, but at every source I'd ever learned anything from, whether it was school, whether it was my parents, whether it was the church I grew up in, every source I learned anything from, I found out later that at least part of what they told me was incorrect. So I began studying the Word of God for myself, not what I'd always heard, not what I'd always understood. And in going through that, I come to find some things like, we always sing the song, "In the sweet by and by, we will meet on that beautiful shore." And it's always in my mind, sweet by and by is somewhere way out there, somewhere way out in the future. So then when I'm reading about the parable of the sower goes out to sow the seed, and some falls along the way, and the birds of, and by and by the birds of the air come and snatch it away. And then the translation or the explanation of that says that sometimes the Word of God is sown in our hearts, and the enemy immediately snatches it away, or by and by is what the King James says, by and by in both cases. But by and by, I'm thinking in my mind, by and by is way on out there somewhere. But when I actually go to look at it, by and by is immediately. So I missed that. I didn't understand that. And that makes a whole lot more sense. That the enemy comes and snatches it right away. And I began looking, and I began looking at those two verses, the Acts 2:38 and the Matthew 28, and looking at that and coming to find out that name is character, honor, and authority, and we're arguing about the character, honor, and authority of Jesus versus the character, honor, and authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it comes from ignorance and comes from tradition. I come to the realization that Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, did not have a better grasp on the things of God than Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't. The difference was the crowd they were talking to, the situation they were describing. Peter talking on the day of Pentecost to Jews who already know the Father and the Holy Spirit, did not know the Son. Peter said, "Let me introduce you to the Son." Jesus says, "Go to all the world where they don't know the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. You need to tell them about all of them." But it's character, honor, and authority. It's wrapped up in learning to know the things of God for ourselves, not just what we've been taught, not just a tradition. Because even though we might have a tradition that says, going back to Tevye, we cover our heads all the time. Do you know why the Jews cover their head all the time? Do you know? They have no sacrifice for sin. They cover their head because it's a sign of their shame. Whether or not they will admit it, whether or not they recognize what it is, that's what it is. The head was covered as a sign of shame. They were ashamed before a holy God, and they no longer have a sacrifice for sin. The prayer shawl says, reminds us of our relationship with God. Or does it just become a tradition? Does it just become something that we do? I am not, nor have I ever been Catholic. I have been in a couple of Catholic churches to visit, and I've been there for funerals and weddings. And I notice people coming in, and everyone comes in and kneels and does the cross. And you can watch their body language, and you can see this, or it gives the appearance that some people are doing that just because it's what you do, and some people are doing that out of reverence to God. In our own lives, do we watch our words? Do we set a guard over our lips? Do we guard our hearts because God tells us to, or because we love the Lord and that's an example of Him working in us? Do we do things just because it's tradition, or do we let the Holy Spirit of God continue to change us and continue to work in us? Get back to the message, Luke 11, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's where that one stops. And I don't know anyone who does the Lord's Prayer, and that's the version they do. We have traditions. And sometimes traditions don't make it past head knowledge. Sometimes we don't think about the things that we do. Sometimes we don't get our heart in line. Sometimes we follow a rote. We follow a program. We follow a script. But don't allow our hearts to be surrendered to the Lord. Traditions are important. Without them, our foundations would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof. But anything we do just because everybody else does it, we do it just because it's always been done that way. We ignore the things of God. We ignore what God is trying to do in our heart and in our life. If we're only doing things because that's how it's done, not because we understand, then we become a stumbling block even to our own self. Final passage, Philippians 4, beginning with verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul telling the church at Philippi, think about things. Examine them. Think things through. Are these things true? Are these things noble? Are these things just? Are these things pure? Are these things lovely? Are these things of good report? Is there any virtue? Is there anything praiseworthy? Examine the things going on around us, but examine the things in our own lives. Are we doing it just because, or are we doing it because it reflects the grace and glory of God in our lives? We are called to be ambassadors for Christ in a lost and dying world. We are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. We can look outside, look in your newspaper, turn on the TV, turn on Facebook, turn on whatever, and you're going to see plenty of darkness. But what are we doing to be lights in the midst of that? What are we doing to examine ourselves? What are we doing that to recognize who God is and what He's done in us and through us? That we might give praise to God in our lives. That we might be those ambassadors for Christ that we're called to be. And he said in verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, I tried to model it in front of you. And as I've done it, you do it as well. But he told us back earlier on, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, which we're not going back there, but he said, imitate me even as I also imitate Christ. He didn't say, imitate me. He said, I'm doing the best I can to follow Jesus, and as I'm doing the best I can to follow Jesus, use that for an example. Each and every one of us are called to be an example to the people around us, a light to the people around us. Let us not do things simply because it's a tradition. Let us not do things simply because it's always been done that way, but rather let God work through us to show His love to the people around us, because we have examined, are these things true? Are these things pure? Are these things just? Are these things noble? Are these things of good report? Are you being a light in the midst of the darkness? Or are we following the traditions of men rather than the things of God? Do we follow God with our whole heart, or we just follow Him with our lips? Something for us each and every one to think about. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You, Father, that You continue to draw us, and You continue, Father, to call us to seek Your face. You continue, Father, to work in us, Lord, that we might show Your praise, show Your grace, show Your love, show Your mercy to the people around us. Lord, and to illustrate those things in our life, Father, that we need to lay at Your feet. We thank You, Lord, that sometimes You turn up the pressure, sometimes You turn up the heat, that as we are being refined as silver and gold are refined, that as the impurities and the yucky stuff comes up to the top, Lord, You can scrape it off until You can see Your reflection in our lives. Until others looking at us glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, continue to draw us, continue to use us. But Lord, continue to refine us, that You be glorified in our hearts. That we become faithful witnesses, vessels fit for the Master's use. And we give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.